Good morning, everyone. Let's just pray. Father, just thank you for this wonderful opportunity to just minister your word. And Father, it's not by might, not by power, it's but by your spirit, oh God. And so, Father, I just pray for your spirit just to move upon each and one of our hearts this morning. We thank you for the work that you've already done. But Father, we thank you for the work that you will continue to do as your word goes forth. In Jesus' name. Amen. It's wonderful to know that God always confirms His Word. And to be honest, everything that has been said, the songs that have been sung, is everything that I have in my notes. And, which is a great thing. I told Ken, I go, man, I feel like I don't even need to preach this morning. Like, it's already been preached. Put it together, okay. And so, this morning I'm going to speak about, we're doing part four of Behold Your God. And to be honest, I thought about that in itself, and I think that's a preach. Behold Your God. And just leave it at that. But we're going to do part four today. Part five? Okay. Part five. And what I'm going to speak about this morning is, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? And our text this morning is going to be in Matthew 16, verse 13. When you're there, say, uh-huh. Huh? And before I begin, I just want to thank Mark and the rest of the elders just for giving me this wonderful opportunity and this awesome privilege of ministering your word, the Father's word. So if you're there, verse 13, it says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, He asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Who do you say I am is a question that is asked every day, and every day it demands a response. Who we are as Christians relies on how we answer this question. You see, God is always looking to introduce us to a new aspect of Himself. However, He reveals Himself out of relationship and not obligation. Our God is all about relationship, as we heard this morning. He desires to be with us. He desires to have that intimacy with us. And so, verse 13 says, who do people say the Son of Man is? Or who do the crowd say that I am? We're going to just watch a little clip here.
White guy with a beard?
Oh my God, you are! You're Jesus Christ!
He died for our sins so that we could be saved. And in my religion, it means we can f*** up as much as we want. And as long as we are truly sorry, then we're saved.
A white guy. Looks like he's from the 60s.
A reason to believe and to continue on in your life and your journey.
Not that blonde-haired dude that they show in all those pictures.
I think Jesus was just a story made up by someone. Could have been probably a real person. It's something special, but not like story says.
I'm actually glad you're all here tonight. I want to tell you that one of you will betray me.
Nah, just kidding. Ah, he's doing that thing he did in his storybook.
Jesus, a friend of mine from Puerto Rico?
I don't know. I don't know Jesus very well, so...
Jesus? Like Jesus? The Son of God?
Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Definitely not the guy who cuts my lawn.
Dear tying in for Jesus.
Hey, you know, sweetie, Jesus did grow up. You don't always have to call him baby. It's a bit odd and off-putting to pray to a baby.
Well, look, I like the Christmas Jesus best, and I'm saying grace.
Yes, there's definitely something special about Jesus. The same things that are special about me and you and, well, everybody.
Definitely good morals and beliefs, and possibly had some special gift.
Jesus!
And his best pal, Peter! Wow!
Who do you say Jesus is?
He's really important. His birthday's coming up.
People believe in Jesus. He's your savior. He's number one.
Everyone is giddy with anticipation for Jesus to come out because, as we all know, if Jesus comes out of his house and is not scared by his shadow, it means the next 1,000 years will be full of peace and love.
He's just really chill. I think he even smoked some pot, so I love Jesus even more.
He seems like a kind of Gandhi-type guy.
Some superpower, I just don't know. I believe him. I mean him, so...
he was Jewish.
Look, I think he's inspiring for a lot of people, so that's really cool to me.
God bless him.
A make-believe story that's got blown out of proportion.
So as you can see, a lot of people really don't know who Jesus is. And so even people that were among Jesus in the flesh saw him, still did not know he was the Son of God. And so that's what Jesus was asking his disciples. What's the word on the street? Like, who do people say that I am? And then some say John the Baptist, some say Jeremiah, some say you're Elijah. And as humans, Patty came up with that word, and that's where I'm going. As humans, we have three types of images. We have a projected image, we have a perceived image, and we have our actual image. And so, our projected image is the way we desire people to see us. Our perceived image is how others actually do see us. And our actual image is how we actually are in the eyes of God. And so with our projected image, one of the strongest desires that we have as humans is to have a sense of belonging. And because we have that strong desire to have a sense of belonging, we will always put up a projected image so that others would like us, so that we would fit in, so that we don't step on people's toes. But we have just this desire to belong. And it's one of the things that I think, it's one of those things that really we just have to kind of get away from. Because you see, the thing is, with projected image, when we project our image, some of us even call it a mask, we put up a front. And so when we put up that front, when we put on that mask, people don't really actually see who we are. And so then we leave people to perceive who we are. And so for some of us, as I say, we project an image that is not of us, so that we can belong to something. And so we project certain images in a lot of different ways. How well we have it together, our cars, latest technology, maybe even our house, our self-worth, financial status. But because it's a projected image, it's not really us. And it's one of the things that even when I was growing up, I had to struggle with. Is who do people want me to be? And whoever they want me to be, that's who I will become. And it's funny that things that you struggle with before you got saved are sometimes the things you struggle with after you get saved. And so even for me, one of the things I always have to struggle with is comparing myself to a Chris or to or to a Mark or whoever it is that's around me that I kind of just feel, wow, they kind of know the word more than me. They kind of know, whatever it is. And so then you start to project an image. But what I found out is it's just great for us just to be who we are. And to be honest with you, if I'm really transparent, I'm actually just starting to sense who I am. And yeah, it takes us long. For some of us, we get it. For some of us, it's a process. And for me, it's been a process. But for me to say that I'm here now, and I no longer have to struggle with projected image, I no longer have to preach like Mark or preach like Chris or preach like Michael or be like whoever it is, even with people at work. It's almost like I'm starting to get comfortable in my own skin. And so no longer do I have to struggle with a projected image. And so the second thing is our perceived image. How many of us know that we live and die on perception? And we all heard this, and I'll say it this time, is your perception is your reality. And if we look at Scripture throughout all the Gospels, we'll always see that Jesus, His perception was these things. He was perceived to be a drunkard. He was perceived to be a liar. He was perceived to be demon-inspired. He was perceived to be a heretic. But how many of us know that that's not who Jesus is? And because of what He was doing, because of the kingdom that He was preaching, started to come up against a lot of opposition. And because of that opposition, everything's just started to cloud people's minds. How many people know that it's easy for one person, it's easy for me to say something and then it affect, the whole church. It's easy for a mayor to say something and it affect a whole region. I mean, just look at what's going on in the States. I mean, but I won't go there. Then our third thing is our actual image. The image. In Hebrews, the image that God has given us. Hebrews 1:3 says this. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. And then in Colossians 1:15, talks about the supremacy of Christ, that He is the image of the invisible God. And so we know that God is the exact, that Jesus was the exact representation of His Father. And so guess what? We are the exact representation. You agree? We are the exact representation. And that is the image. That is what our minds should be. That's what our hearts should be. That I'm made in His image. I'm not made in my image. I'm not made in this earthly image. Really, I'm not light-skinned with glasses, and I'm not. Because guess what? Jesus doesn't look at me like that. He looks at me as a son and a daughter. A son and a daughter. And the one great thing about Jesus is He never had to change for no one. If you didn't like Him, then too bad. That's who he was going to stay, because he knew who his father was. He knew in whose image he was. And he knew he did not have to bow down to nobody. Even when the devil tried to come and tempt him, he said, nuh-uh. Word says this. The word says this. The word says this. And I think we need to get back to that. Get back to the word. Of when situation and circumstance come, yeah, elders are great, deacons are great, your life group leader is great, but what does the word say? What does Jesus say in his word about this particular situation? Because guess what? It's there. And all we have to do is not be lazy and look for it. And because worship was off the hook, I have 15 minutes. Okay, so Jesus wasn't ignorant to what people were saying. You see, Jesus didn't ask the question of, who do people say I am? Because he was insecure. He actually wanted to know, after all this time together, do these guys actually know me? Do these guys actually know me? And so in verse 15 it says, what about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? It's good to know what other people are saying about me. But I chose you guys. You guys have walked with me. We've ministered together. We've eaten together. We've had communion together. Now who do you say I am? And the question for us this morning is, who do we say that he is to us? Who is he? And can we answer that? Can we answer that? Who do we say that Jesus is? And I know for some of us, we laugh at, well, isn't that that white guy or the guy with the beard or... You know, I think he's just some fictitious person, or I think that's Jesus, the guy that cut, you know, my lawn, or whoever it was. But to be honest, it's no different for us if we don't know who Jesus is. They struggle because they don't know him. They don't have relationship with him. They don't have intimacy with him. And so my challenge this morning is that we have intimacy with him. We have relationship with him. And so, who do we say that he is? Is he my rock? Is he my strong tower? Is he my healer? Is he my provider? Is he the great I am? Who is he to us? You see, I believe the reason Jesus asked the question, like I said, is because he wanted to know if his disciples really knew him. God has always longed for relationship. If you even take a look at the scriptures before that, he called his disciples. He just finished sending them out two by two. They fed the 5,000. And you would think after all that they saw and heard that they would actually know him. And I think for some of us, as you see with Peter was the first one to pipe up like he always does. Gotta love Peter. But it's interesting that not all of them piped up. It's interesting not all of them said it at the same time. Somebody actually took a step of faith and said, hey, nah, you are Jesus. You're the Messiah, the Son of the Living God. The Son of the Living God. And so relationship always reveals the actual person. And I just wrote this, never let ministry be the primary focus. Never let ministry become the focus of what we do. Don't let the ministry of work become your focus. Even what we do here on a Sunday, a Wednesday, on a Canada Day, it's not our focus. Our focus is Jesus. Our focus is the King. Our focus is our Savior. The focus is the gospel. That is our focus. And guess what? For too long, I focused on ministry. When am I actually going to get a chance to preach? When am I actually going to get a chance to move in the giftings that I know God has given me? And for some of us, it's still the question. But guess what? You're asking the wrong question. It's the wrong question. It should always be, how is my relationship with Him? How is my relationship? Who do I say that He is to me? So He says, you are the Messiah. Peter says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And the way I see that scripture is this, is that Peter was now introduced to something new. It was a paradigm shift for him. Now that this revelation that, wow, this is Jesus, the Messiah, the one that people have waited all these years for. I'm walking with this man. I'm ministering with this man. I'm friends with this man. And it's the same relationship He has with us. Bible says He no longer calls us slaves, but we're friends now. And that we're actually friends if we do what He's called us to do. See, God is always looking for opportunities for His Son, Jesus, to be revealed to us. And to be honest, He reveals Himself in every situation. I mean, through creation, through His Word, everywhere we look, His heart is always to reveal Himself to us. Even for this morning in worship, His heart, every time we gather together, not just on a Sunday, not just on a Wednesday, but every time we come with this expectation of wanting to know Him more, He reveals Himself. And so even with this morning when I was there, I was just asking the Lord, man, why, to be honest, why this morning? Why was your presence just so thick in this place this morning? You know what He said? He goes, because you lifted up my Son. My Son was lifted up. And the focus was not on anything else. But every song we sung, every word that came forth was focused on Jesus. And so we can see that from from Genesis to Revelation, God reveals Himself through prophets. He even revealed Himself through a donkey. How many would like your dog to talk to you? And of course, through His Son, Jesus, even the Apostle Paul. He just looks for ways to reveal Himself. And if we're not listening, guess what? He'll still keep pursuing you. He'll still keep pursuing you. He'll still keep pursuing you. Because He wants to reveal Himself. And the way I see it is for relationships, we don't have to use marriages, but for relationships, you always want to get to know each other. When you meet somebody, it's, hey, hi. My name's Kevin. What's your name? Great. And then you just start developing a relationship. You just start asking questions about each other, getting to know one another. And that's how He is with us. The more we get to know Him, the more He reveals Himself to us. And yeah, he's not going to give it all to us at one time. He's not going to just, hey, this is all of me. But the more we pursue him, the more we seek him, he reveals himself. And so I wrote down, he revealed himself to Paul in Acts 9, verse 1 to 19. In verse 20, it says that once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. He revealed himself to Abraham, or Abram. He revealed him in Genesis 12. He revealed himself to Isaiah, as we sang this morning, Isaiah chapter 6. He revealed himself through to Moses in Exodus 3 through a burning bush. He revealed himself through Jacob in Genesis 32:22, when Jacob wrestles with God. He reveals himself through the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5, verse 25. And I would read through this, but for time's sake, we won't. He reveals himself to the man at the gate beautiful in Acts chapter 3. And so once again, we can see that God is in the business of revealing himself to us. And so he also reveals to us Jesus as Savior. In 2 Timothy 1:8, it says, he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to the light through the gospel. He's Lord. In Philippians 2:10 to 12, it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He reveals himself as King. Revelations 19:15-17. It says, coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is our healer. He is our deliverer. You can find that in Luke 4, verse 18. When Jesus comes into the synagogue, he says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach good news, to set the captives free, to preach liberty, to heal the blind man. See, when Jesus is revealed to us, it's easy for us now, not for us, but we can easily reveal him to other people. In other words, we become a witness to all that he's done because of his word. And now we can be a witness to people out that don't know him. And listen to this. If we don't know somebody, or let me just see what I said here. We can't introduce someone we don't know. And that's why we, the church, need a revelation of who Jesus is. See, there will always be a response for who do you say I am when we receive a revelation of Jesus. And for time's sake, I skipped some stuff because this morning was evident of the heart of the Father. That his Son be lifted up. That his Son be known to us. That his heart is for us and not against us. And so when we say, behold your God, behold your God. Behold your God. Behold your God that is your healer. Behold your God that has come to set you free. Behold your God that says, I'm all for you. I got your back. that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And so really it's, how about we personalize it and say, behold my God. Behold my God. When I go to, when I'm at a function or the name Jesus comes up, hey, guess what? Behold my God. I'll tell you what, about my God. My God. No, I'm joking. Okay, so if you tell you, songs just always come to my head. Oh yeah, the sister act too. I forgot. Didn't even go there. But this is just a few things, and then we're going to close with. Can I have 5 minutes? Thank you. And then we'll close with a video. Being a witness of who God is, of Jesus, transforms us. It transforms everything about us. No longer are we the same. Like Mark brought the word this morning that we're a new creation. We're never the same when Jesus is actually revealed to us. And not only revealed to us, but when we grasp and understand and just get it into our heart that this Jesus that died on the cross for our sins, not just for our sins, not just so that we can get to heaven, He died for everything, for sicknesses, for our diseases, for salvation. He died for everything that we may be whole. Not just be healed, but made whole. I just wanted to leave you guys with a few things. One, don't you know that when you see a miracle or you see a healing take place, nobody and nothing can ever take that experience away from you. That hope. And you see, one of the big things, one of the reasons why I'm kind of passionate about this or developing a passion for this is because to be in a situation, and some of you guys know the story, but I'll share it anyways because testimonies are good, is when Trish was diagnosed with a brain tumor that was 3 centimeters in diameter. When she was diagnosed with that, and I remember coming here on a Wednesday night, probably scared out of my mind, because I didn't know what the future held. I knew who Jesus was. But to be honest, I never saw a miracle like that before. I've never seen tumors disappearing from people. I've never seen limbs growing from people. So talk about your faith being challenged. Long story short, 5 times to the doctor, seen specialists, top of the top specialists about her tumor. And on that 5th time she goes in, they say there's no tumor there. I'm sorry, but I was like, woo! Because now I've seen, my eyes have seen that my God, that's behold my God. Behold my God. And guess what? It happened to her, but it's our testimony together. And to be honest, every person that she's spoken to about this, hey, so how's that tumor? No, I'm healed. What do you mean you're healed? God healed me. It's like, now imagine that. Behold my God. That is a behold my God moment. And I want us to have some behold my God moments in this church. Behold my God moments in our community. Behold my God moments in our workplaces. Because you see, when we have a behold my God moment, we can then get into this place where we can introduce. It's a great platform to introduce who Jesus is. And so we're going to watch this clip in closing. Some of you have seen it. Some of you maybe not. But I was kind of, I didn't want to show it. I was like, I need a confirmation, God, about showing this. And then it came on TV and I was like, okay. And if you've never, it's actually a clip of, if you know Steve Harvey. And Steve Harvey, in one of his comedy, in the close of his comedy routines, he says, I've introduced people all over in this industry. I've introduced many different kind of people. However, if there's one person that I would want to have a chance to introduce, it'd be Jesus Christ. And this is what, how he would introduce him. It was there. What? I need a piano player, and you know. So while we're dealing with some technical stuff, the reason why I felt the Spirit of God say to play this is because believe. And it happened this morning that there's a reintroduction of who he is. Give me a sec. A reintroduction of actually who Jesus is to us. And he wants to reintroduce it to us as his church. Not that he's a new person, but we need to be reminded of it. And this is the season, I believe, as we do this series together, that will actually start to get a hold of who Jesus is to us.
If I had the pleasure of bringing out Christ, this is just how I would do it. It ain't got to be the way you do it. You might not think it's just right, but this is how I would do it. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my honor to introduce a man who needs no introduction. His credits are too long to list. He has done the impossible time after time. He hails out of a manger in Bethlehem, Jerusalem, by way of heaven. His mother is still headlining in the Catholic Church today. His daddy is the author of a book that has been on the bestseller list since the beginning of time. He holds the record for the world's greatest fish fry. He fed 5,000 hungry souls with 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread. He can walk on water, turn water into wine. No special effects, no camera tricks. He has a headshot on every church fan across the country. Even before the kings of comedy, he was hailed the king of all kings, ruler of the universe, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, the bright and the morning star. Some say he's the Rose of Sharon, and some say he's the Prince of Peace. Get up on your feet. Put your hands together and show your love for the second coming of the one and only.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Father, my prayer, O God, is that we can always find in our hearts to introduce you to each and every person we come in contact with. That when you ask us, who do you say that I am? Father, we can answer that without any hesitation. And Father, I just thank you for your Son, Jesus. I thank you, God, for the relationship that we have with your Son. Father, I thank you, God, that you made a way for us. Father, I thank you, Lord, that we are a new creation. And Father, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We thank you that you are Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Father, we thank you that you are a rose in Sharon, O God. Father, we thank you that you are a lily in the valley. Father, we thank you, O God, that you are the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Father, thank you that you chose man. You could have chose anything, but you chose us as man to reveal yourself, to reveal your Son to us. And for that, we are eternally grateful. And Father, may we leave this place today with a better understanding of who our God is, of who you are as Savior and Lord and King, as Father. And Father, I just pray, oh God, that we have an understanding of the bigger picture as us as a church this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen.